A few years ago, I was surprised to discover that a confidential email that I had sent to a official in the office of the Chief Rabbi of Israel was published in some media outlets. So I was wondering how it got there. There were three options. Either I leaked it, or the recipient leaked it, or the Russians got it. So it definitely wasn't me. So that left the Russians or the recipient. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is the propriety of sharing emails or other electronic communication with individuals other than the intended recipient. What does this have to do with Parshas Vayikra? It has everything to do with Parshas Vayikra because the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Dalet Amaveis, the first page of the handout, at the two dots towards the bottom, Vayikra el Moshe Vayidaber, Lam Hikdim Kriya Ledibor, Linda Tori Derech Eretz, Shelo Yomer Adam Davar L'Chaveiro Olam Ken Kareyu. So a person shouldn't open up and tell someone something unless he is invited. I'm skipping a line. And then the Gemara has a parallel memra. Amar Rabba Rava Minayin LaOmer Davar L'Chaveiro Shehu B'Val Yomer Ad Sheyomer Lo Leich Emor. How do we know that if a person tells someone else something, that other person, the recipient of the information, is not allowed to share that information with a third party unless he is given explicit permission? That Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Ol Moed, and then Lemor, he allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to share the information with Klal Yisrael. Without that additional directive, the allowance to share the information, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been prohibited or precluded from sharing that information with someone else. So the Gemara seems to indicate that when there's a communication between two individuals, there's a presumption of confidentiality unless there's explicit waiver of that and explicit permission to share the contents of that conversation with a third party. If you look in the Torah Tamima, the very opening line in Parshas Vayikra, Os Beis, he quotes this Gemara, and he quotes a Smag, who seems to count this as a lav, an actual lav min haTorah. Torah Tamima tries to temper it and says, no, it's not really a lav, maybe it's only an smachta. Rabbi Daniel Feldman, in this wonderful Sefer, False Facts and True Rumors, Lashon Hara in Contemporary Culture, which I recommend you read if you haven't yet. So he's mitzayin in a footnote in Orachayim in a couple places, that also seems to indicate that this Gemara should be taken literally to ascribe an isser, a prohibition, against sharing information that is shared with another party without permission. The Orachayim is, the first place is in Parshas Ve'era. The Pesukim tell us, beginning in Parshas Ches, something that we generally wouldn't pay too much attention to. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron le'mor. So Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Ki daber aleichem paro le'mor. Should Paro speak to you, or when Paro speaks to you and says, Tenu lachem ofeis, then vayomer tal Aaron, kachas barcha v'ashlech lefnei Paro, yehi l'sanin. Says Yerachayim on page 3 of the handout. Lemor, ki daber aleichem, tam omer lemor, shenasan lehem reshus lomar. So what do you need the extra lemor for? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Moshe and Aaron, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving Moshe and Aaron reshus to share the information. Ki al pi Hashem imosim, to tell Paro that they're operating based on divine instructions. Shezu azeh, haya asr lehem lodia davar zeh. If not for the explicit permission, the explicit lemor, they would not have been authorized to share this information with Paro. Hagam shiyah shalem, even if Paro would have asked them. Ukaom ramzal, the gemar nyuma, shuvu bal tomar, ashe yomer lo, lemor. Vidavka im yishal Paro, o im yirtsu heim lomer elav. Aval ein chiyah bedavar, ashe yomer lemor, daber, davar achas rishus, no, lemor, daber achas rishus achas lechova. So the Torah is telling us two things. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron had to be given reshus to share the information. And then beyond that, there are two levels. Number one, are they allowed to share the information? And number two, should they dafka share the information? So the lemur is saying you're allowed to share the information, and Pasuk Tes is saying you dafka should share the information when you have the opportunity. And the Or HaChaim says something similar in Parshas Teruma. Again, why the double Lashon? You have this a lot of places, but the Or HaChaim picks up under there. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, and then Daber. So same thing. Lemor is the Rishus to share the information, and Daber is the imperative to share the information. So the Or Chaim in those two places sounds like this is an actual Isser, without, or an actual, a pretty strong matter, that without explicit permission, you're not allowed to share information that is the private conversation between two individuals. Magen Avraham quotes this in Or Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Vav Sifkatan Gimel. That's the law of Magen Avraham at the end of, right before Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, the end of Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, where the Magen Avraham tells you a summary of everything that the Shulchan Aruch didn't tell you about how to conduct yourself on a daily basis. So all the things that don't make it Lashon Hara, all the things that don't make it into Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim. And one of the lines that he has is this Gemara Numa. And then the Magen Avraham adds, "V'im ha'omer mazir shelo lomar." So then, that's bistam. That's the default. If there are no instructions given, the default is you're not allowed to share the information. However, if the guy tells you dafka, don't share the information, then afilo amru b'fnei rabim yeshva mishem lashon hara. So, if there is a potential lashon hara component, so then that's a greater violation than simply sharing information that was given in presumed confidence. So that sounds like bistam, you're not allowed to, and if they tell you explicitly don't share the information, then that's even a more egregious violation. However, if you look in the Chavetz Chaim himself in Sefer Chavetz Chaim seems to interpret this Gemara as more of a appropriate behavior, a midas chasidus, or a good thing, Derech Eretz, but not an absolute Isser. So if you look in the Chavetz Chaim, he writes the following. We have it here. Ost Yud Gimel. In Echad Gila L'Chaveira Ba'apei Tlasa Inyan Iskau Mischaro V'Chayotzeb. If a person reveals to someone else in the presence of three other people, so that's the heter that the Gemara has of Tlasa, which is the whole topic of this siman in Chavetz Chaim, which you don't have time to discuss in detail now. But whatever situation, Apei Tlasa is a heter that you can share information that's already been shared with at least three people. So if a person expresses information in the presence of three people that has to do with commercial matters, things that under normal circumstances you'd be prescribed from sharing with others, because if it's presumed confidential business information, someone could come to a loss if that information is shared. But now that he revealed it in the presence of three people, so that's a riot that the guy doesn't care if you share the information, otherwise he wouldn't have told it to so many people. Even if it ends up being revealed later on, so in that case, when the information was revealed, you're allowed to share with others, as long as he hasn't revealed or indicated that he has a kveda. As long as the other details that are necessary to invoke the cool of Api Tlasa are in place. Take a look at the Be'er Mayim Chayim on the bottom. The second paragraph in Oskav Zayin says, Eila Haksha, so one second, what happened to the Gemara Numa, Bebal Yomar, that you're not allowed to share information unless you're given explicit permission. So how is it here that you're allowed to share the information just because it was given Ba'Api Tlasa? So the Chavetz Chaim has two answers. Number one, Yish Lamar, that's a good idea. It's good to train yourself not to share information without explicit permission, but it's not an absolute prohibition. Under certain circumstances, it may then be permissible. And then number two, he says, maybe more. Now we say that it's Bebal Tomar, that you can't share information that was given unless you have explicit permission. That's only if the information was shared in a private setting. You invited someone into your home, no one else is there, and you tell them something in presumed confidence. But if you're talking to someone in the street where anyone can pass by and hear, so that's an indication that you're not makbid, and there's no prohibition about sharing the information. So if you share something in the privacy of your own home, there's a presumption, absent an explicit allowance, that that information should not be shared. If you share something in public, so then, subject to the rules of Api Tlasa, the information could be shared, and maybe there isn't even a Nida Tova to avoid sharing that information when it was disclosed in such a context. The Meiri sounds like this approach, that it's only a Midah Tova. If you look back to the first pre-page, the Mar Mekamos, the Meiri, the Midah Sugin Yuma, refers to this as Derech Eretz. Lamanu Derech Eretz, Lamisha Omer, Dabar L'Chaveir, Afa B'Shalom, Masr L'Bisod, Shiva Bal Yomer. So it's Derech Eretz, it's appropriate behavior, that if someone tells you something, even if he didn't explicitly tell you that it's in confidence, that you should not share that information with other parties. That sounds like it's a Midah Tov. It's a good idea. It's ethically and morally appropriate. But there's no absolute Isser if you were to share such information. So, potentially two approaches here. Whether there's an absolute Isser, which is what the Smog seems to say, and maybe the Magen Avraham, and the implication of the Orachaim Alatara, and then the possibility of the Chavetz Chaim and the Meiri, that perhaps it's only a Midah Tov.
So according to the Chavetz Chaim, once it's given to three, you don't need an additional explicit rishos. The fact that you gave it to three means that it's okay that this information could be revealed to others as well.
So there may still be a midah tova natu, that's dependent on the two answers on the bottom. So according to the Chavetz Chaim's first approach, there's still a midah tova natu, but there's no iser. According to the second approach, under certain circumstances, if you have all the details of Apei Tlasa, maybe there isn't even a midah tova. If you look in Shuvas Betzel Chachma, Betzal Stern, Chelet Dalet, Simon Pei Dalet, he also develops this approach that it's a Midah Tova, but not an absolute Isser. Now, presumably, Evan would agree that if this information includes Lashon Hara, Rechilus, or something that's Usser anyway, or something that's going to cause damage to the party that is revealing it, if you share with others, and then obviously that should be Usser anyway, you slice it. Our issue here is you have information that doesn't necessarily implicate anyone, isn't necessarily going to cause financial, emotional, social damage to someone. Nevertheless, there may be a Isser or a Midah Tova against revealing information unless you have explicit permission. Okay. One of the more famous charamim attributed to Rabbeinu Gershom is a charam against reading other people's mail. Opening other people's mail, reading other people's mail. There are slightly different formulations as to what the exact Isser is. If you look in the Be'er HaGola, the end of Simen Shin Lamadal and Yoredei, that's a long Simen of Hilchas Nadarim, so at the very end of Shin Lamadal, the Be'er HaGola lists all the various charamim attributed to Rabbeinu Gershom, and this is one of them. If you look in the Chuvas Mara Mintz, Chuvas Mara Mintz, Simen Kuf Beis Os Ayin Gimel, Simen Kuf Beis Os Ayin Gimel, he also lists all the charamim, and his formulation is, Cherem shelo liros biksav chavero sheshalech lechavero. You shouldn't look at a letter sent from one person to another. Beli yidi aso aser. So if you look at it without his knowledge, that's aser. And he has vim zarko mutter. If you throw it out, then it's mutter. So that's a discussion if that's true. And why is it that if you throw it out, it's mutter? Is this the issue of the Cherem Beinu Gershom only dependent on the interest or the allowance of the recipient of the letter? What about the sender of the letter? If someone sends a letter, then what difference does it make that the recipient threw it out if there's information that could compromise the sender? Okay, be that as it may, it seems, at least according to some achronim, that this Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom is somehow an extension, or at least relates, to the Gemara Numa of Baal Tomar. So either the Gemara Numa is only a Midah Tova, and then the Cherem Beinu Gershom was saying there's a more explicit or more serious Isser if you were to share information that was contained in writing, or if you view the Gemara Numa as talking about an absolute Isser, still a Cherem is stronger than a regular Isser. So then the Rabbeinu Gershom and his Beis Din, whoever promulgated this Cherem, would have been saying, okay, there is an Isser in general of sharing information that was shared in presumed confidence. If you're going to do that in with something that was written or a letter, then that incurs a Cherem, which is stronger than a regular Isser. There is a tshuva of Rav Chaim Palagi in Tshuva Schikke Lev, Yeredeya Semen Memtes, who was asked whether you're allowed to open. The particular question he was asked was the following. A Jew is in not exactly receipt, but has access to a letter that was written from one non-Jew to another non-Jew, and it pertained to certain commercial matters that could have financial implications for this Jew. So if the Jew were to read the letter, he may be able to save himself from some financial loss. Is he allowed to do that? Would that be a violation of this Chayrim Ben Gershom of opening someone else's mail? So he analyzes the question based on the following. What is the reason for this Chayrim Ben Gershom against opening other people's mail? Is it based on V'hafto V'echa Kamocha? If it's based on V'hafto V'echa Kamocha, then it should only apply to Jews and not to Nachrim. Or is it some form of Gneivas Das? That there's a certain presumption when you share written communication between two parties that no one else is going to have access to it. And if you look at it, so there's a level of Gneivas Das. Gneivas Das may be Midin Shol Shalom Midas Gazanhu, and Gezel Akum is Aser. So if it's a matter of Gneivas Das, we generally assume that different forms of Geneva are relevant to Nachrim as well as to Yisraelim. So if it's Geneva Das, it would be Aser even if the letter is written from one Nachri to another Nachri. And he points out that beyond this, beyond the strict application of Chayim Ben Gershom, even if you would argue that Chayim Ben Gershom doesn't apply in a specific instance or specific circumstance, there still could be this matter of Baal Tomar. Meaning you can get out of the Chayrim under certain circumstances, but you still have to deal with that Gemara Yuma, that you may be violating sharing information that had presumed confidence. Even though, as far as that's concerned, if you do have explicit permission, then that would be mutter. It could be Chayrim Ben Gershom would still be in place even if you have explicit permission. That's there's a lot to talk about there. In that particular tshuva, he ends up concluding that in the case at hand, you were allowed to read the letter because where there's potential financial loss to the Yisrael, he assumes that Chayrim Ben Gershom was never intended to apply. So that's the discussion Rabbi Zvi Spitz wrote a lot of volumes on Choshen Mishpat issues. Mishpatei HaTorah Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadi Beis. Mishpatei HaTorah Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadi Beis. He assumes that it must be there are certain circumstances where Chayrim Ben Gershom on opening other mail wouldn't necessarily apply. Just like we find Lamashal by the more famous Chorom of Rabbeinu Gershom, not to be Nosei Yesh Alishta, you can't marry more than one wife. But in all the literature, there are instances where we assume Chorom Rabbeinu Gershom was never applied. According to some, if it would interfere with your ability to be Kayim Peruvu, under certain circumstances, maybe Chorom Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't apply. Whatever the details are there, there are indications that there could be circumstances where it doesn't apply, where it was never intended. So Rabbi Spitz discusses, let's say, you have the following situation where there's a hanhala in a yeshiva, and they suspect that one of the boys is engaging in inappropriate activities, so they want to check his mail or check his correspondences, check his email, as we'll see. He thinks that in that kind of situation, where there are other factors that would indicate a broader need to look at someone's mail, then the Chayrim Ben Gershom was never applied. There's a bit of discussion about, let's say you have a letter that wasn't sealed, a letter in a postcard, so can you assume that there's no presumption of confidentiality if you're sending it in the mail and a postcard, so anyone can read it. They say, halachically speaking, Rabbi Lubavitch, I think is his name, Razi Leibowitz. He has a essay or an article on this topic, Chayrim Ben Gershom. He says, what about the kvitlach that they put in the kosel? So I think when Obama put a kvitl in the kosel a few years ago, it was on the front page of all the papers. So he says, on the one hand, it's out in the open. On the other hand, you don't really think that people are going to take it out of the crack and read it, leaving aside the propriety of putting notes in the kosel to begin with. He has that issue. Presumably, whatever applies to regular mail would obviously apply to email as well. Electronic communication should be no different than regular written communication. And to the extent that wherever a Chayrim Ben Gershom applies to reading someone else's mail, it would apply to reading someone else's email as well. Even in civil law, confidentiality rules apply, at least in recent years, have been found to apply to emails as well as pretty much the same way as regular correspondence, correct? So that should definitely be the case. What about forwarding an email? So someone sends you an email. Can you forward it to someone else? So that touches on both of these issues. The potential of Chayyur Ben Gershom, and beyond that, the Baal Tomar. What is the presumption of information being shared in confidentiality? So the default should be that you're not allowed to forward someone else's email without their permission. If it's a mass email where it's intended for the whole world, so that's one thing. But if it's a private communication, so without permission of the party that sent it to you, there should be no heter to forward that email to someone else. Now, question is, where there may be certain umdanas that that's acceptable. So in a business setting, depending on the culture of the company or the culture of the business, it could be that there is a presumption that work-related emails are going to be shared among the same staff or people working on the same projects. And if there's no confidential information per se, so it's understood that that information is going to be shared. But that would be case-specific depending on the circumstances and the culture and the norms. And even there, you have to be careful if you're forwarding something that is relevant to the coworker, but maybe there's a back-and-forth trail of the last 10 emails that went back and forth on the same thing, and not all that is appropriate to be forwarded. So you have to, before you forward something, think twice about what's acceptable.
How do they print Svarim?
Yeah.
Collected letters of the Brisker
Rav. Ah, good. So that's a discussion. So some say, well, maybe if it's Divrei Torah, so then this doesn't apply, because one issue is there bailus on intellectual property? Is there bailus on Chidushei Torah? So you mentioned the Brisker Rav. The Briskers were very machbet on that. But that's a discussion. But even in a case in terms of forwarding emails, let's say you always work with the presumption that anything that you write can be broadcast around the whole world. So one of these legal websites said that you should always have the mindset that anything that you write to a client could appear on the front page of the New York Times. So even if you're operating with that mindset that anything you're going to write in presumed confidence may end up on the front page of the New York Times, and we know that you're operating with that, and you wouldn't put anything in an email that you'd be embarrassed about if it ended up on in the newspapers. Nevertheless, that doesn't create a heter for someone else to forward that email. I'm operating because I understand the reality of the world that we live in, that anything that I write could be broadcast. But the fact that I'm aware that it could be broadcast doesn't mean that you're allowed to broadcast it without my rishus. So that's something I think people are not always sufficiently attuned to, because we live in a culture where suddenly everything is shared with everybody. So there are some situations where things could be shared, and there you have an apit lasa, but you have to at least have a mindset where it's not pasha that you can just share anything broadly without rishus. There's a bit of a discussion. Rabbi Spitz has this as well in that siman in the Mishpatei Torah. What about electronic surveillance, electronic eavesdropping? So he assumes that is also subsumed under Chayyur Ben Gershom. That if you're going to eavesdrop, if someone's talking in public, so the fact that you walk past and hear what they're saying, you can't help it. That's not. If they wanted to talk privately, they would have gone into a private location. But if they are in a private location, to stop eavesdrop without rishus would be, he says, a violation of Chayyur Ben Gershom. And in the Sefer V'Darashta V'Charkarta, written by a Reb Aaron Yehuda Grossman of Yerushalayim, cited here in Rabbi Feldman's nice Sefer, so he takes issue with Rabbi Spitz's Hagdara of this being part of Chayyur Ben Gershom. He assumes that no, Meicha Teisi, that Chayyur Ben Gershom applies beyond its initial iteration. If we don't find, Chayrim is promulgated for whatever it's intended at the time, but you can't just be Madama Milsa Milsa assume that if the reason for the Chayrim Ben Gershom is that information is confidential and shouldn't be shared more broadly, you can't assume that, well, it applies to electronic surveillance as well, or to eavesdropping, because Mecha Teisi. doesn't mean it's mutter, it's just not chayim ben gershom. He says it'll still be yasser for other reasons. It's a violation of we have to wear chakamocha. It's a violation of rechilas. It's a violation of geneva stas. But he says, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina between whether it's a violation of chayim ben gershom or whether it's a violation of we have to wear chakamocha, rechilas, and geneva stas is what happens if you did violate it. So he says, according to some, if you violate a chayim ben gershom, so you're actually in nidoy. If you're in nidoy, you need a tara. They have to go to Beis Din and have the Beis Din remove you from that nidoy. If you violated v'haftoveich kamocha rechilas and gneivas das, so maybe you're not a good person, but you can do tshuva. And for that tshuva to be effective, you don't need a hatara from Beis Din. So even though everyone agrees that it's usher, he thinks that this isn't trivial. But on some level, if it's chayim ben gershom, maybe worse than these other. Other more generic derises as far as the ability to perform tshuva. Bottom line, these are things that we have to be a little bit more sensitive to and just think twice before sharing information as to whether that sharing is appropriate.
Or even having your echo record your voicemail, your voice, what you're thinking, is going to be recorded forever.
Mm-hmm.
Kids in school, isn't there a presumption that they know faculty or administration are supposed to be looking through their stuff?
Yes, that's what Rosh Schmidt says, that under certain circumstances, the administration has the right to do that. If you're in a work environment where the norm is that supervisors see the emails of their employees, so then that's how the place operates, and you're working within that assumption. That doesn't mean that they can see private emails. Or if you have a policy that you can use the work email for private business, and that's monitored, however, so whatever the norms are, presumably be acceptable, but you have to be aware of what the norms are and be sensitive not to abuse that.
According to the SMOG and those who hold that Baltimore is a real iser,
mm-hmm.
so again, so how does one understand the necessity for Chirim Derbeinu Gershom or the...
So Chirim Ben Gershom makes it worse.
I'm saying, right.
So it means if you violate it, you drop dead.
Yeah. Right, I'm saying.
That's worse than just an iser.
Right, no, it's saying economic, right? So according to those who hold that it's just the midas hasidus,
right.
It's necessary to really bolster it and to
right.
give it a real... a real chayrim,
right.
Or some more teeth, so to speak.
Right.
But I'm saying, but even according to those who hold that it's a real iser, but I guess still it's a... Chirim, I guess, in a certain sense, it's
more severe.
It's worse.
Right. Some say, so Rabbi Al Cohn has an article about this in one of the RGJ journals. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if he quotes anyone, but he says that the context of this Chirim Ben Gershom was there was more commercial activity going on at the time among Jews, and they needed extra protections to preserve their economic interests uh-huh. Because everything was... These correspondences were important to whatever their business interests were, and they had to protect their business interests and crack down on people who were reading letters about other people's
mm-hmm.
businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Dafka writing, because writing, there's more of a presumed confidentiality.
Than just speaking, I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where's this the list of the old panels?
The end of Simon Shin, Lamed Daled, and Yerodea. In the Baragala, their question.
I have extra time tonight.